my pleasure.
Let's talk about some of the current weather that we're experiencing with some, I don't know if you'd call them dramatically warmer temperatures, but near record highs at least.
Yeah, you know, it has been a very warm spring, really from late winter into the spring. March was unusually warm, almost more typical of a May or at least late April. And then again, we've warmed up here again recently with high pressure building across the eastern half of the United States. And with us being under that ridge, it's allowed temperatures to really spike up.
What's the history here for our region? The weather, again, we had a mild winter. We have a very warm set of temperatures this week. And then we're coming off of a bit of a cold snap in April. It feels like it's been up and down.
Yeah, it really has. You know, we got some of that cooler air filtered down from Canada last week. And actually, we're looking at our 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 day outlooks, which call for below normal temperatures. So we may see a swing back down in that direction again here after another week or so of well above normal temperatures.
What precedents do we have for these swings?
You know, it's hard to say. We've been in the La Nina pattern, and that has to do with the ocean temperatures in the equatorial Pacific, and those are kind of neutralizing. We're going into more of a neutral phase, so there are other things that come into play that really can cause the swings. You know, we look at the jet stream, and certainly if it dips down out of Canada toward us, that's when we get the cooler temperatures, and that's when we can also get stormier patterns, and that's possible as we make the transition once again from these above normal temperatures to cooler than normal temperatures here in another week or so. We may see an increased stormy pattern.
Has it been an unusually quiet spring for severe weather?
It has been just like the temperatures, so has the storm activity been up and down greatly. We started out with the greatest number of tornadoes in our region on record through the month of March. In April, which is one of our two busiest months of the year for tornado activity, we only saw one tornado, and that was in early April. And of course, we were well below normal rainfall in April. In fact, for many areas, the driest April on record, in contrast to the wettest April on record a year ago. And so without any storm activity, of course, that keeps the tornado activity nil as well. So just some major ups and downs, both in temperatures and precipitation and storm activity.
Let's talk about the usage of weather radios. We talk about this consistently when there are storm warnings that come over our airwaves regarding the usage of local weather radios. But you found that a lot of people are, in some cases, unplugging their weather radios?
Yes, we have. One of the tornadoes that hit earlier this year hit in the Evansville area, Newburgh, Indiana, and there was a survey done of 28 people that had weather radios. 15 of the 28 through the course of the winter or before that even had unplugged their weather radios. And the key thing that they saw it is it going off too much. But when we do a little digging into those people that have those weather radios, what we typically find is they've got 3, 4, 5, maybe more counties programmed into their unit. And most all of the weather radios, if they are SAME equipped, means you can program it for whichever county or counties you want to. So what we are encouraging now is for people to only program one county in their weather radio, at the very most maybe one additional county. And even if you're close to the county line, you know, the warnings are storm-based now versus county-based, so chances are you're going to get plenty of advanced notification, even if you have just one county programmed in.
Also, there are certain weather radios on the market that allow you to select which warnings you'd like to be notified of, right?
Yeah, and so if that's still a problem for you and you just, you know, really don't want it to go off, for example, except for tornado warnings, the most extreme type of events, you can buy a higher-end model that is programmable by event, and that's the key thing. It's programmable by event. And you can program out, for example, if you didn't want severe thunderstorm watches programmed in, you could program that out. If you didn't want flood warnings in there, you can program that out. You know, you could tailor it down almost to just tornado warnings. And, of course, then it would hardly ever go off, but it would go off for the most critical thing of all.
Well, Warning Coordination Meteorologist Rick Shanklin with the National Weather Service, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.